worst I've seen.
What's going on?
Oh, the humanity.
This is insane.
I'm in fear for my safety.
Look at it.
Five.
It's coming this way.
I can't believe it's come to this.
Four.
Is anybody hurt?
Somebody do something.
Make it stop.
Three.
I can't look away.
No. No.
Get out of the way.
Two.
Get down.
Take cover.
It's here. It's here.
And now, we bring you your weekly waste of time, featuring Crisco.
Eat meat, climb mountains.
Ian Hunter.
People think that I make this stuff up. I don't. This is actually my life.
Mickey.
No, I don't want any more conversations with vegans. I'm good.
And Lazy E.
Brought to you by World of Warcraft, helping stop procreation since 2004.
It's the best mistake ever made. Welcome to A Freak Accident.
Let's go!
It is the podcast that made it out of the gorilla enclosure. It's A Freak Accident. My name is Crisco. I'm the host, and I am joined by my compadres here, Lazy E.
Hola.
¿Cómo estás?
Bien.
Wow, he took that a lot further than I thought he was going to.
Mm-hmm.
Ian Hunter is here.
We're off to a rocking start.
Yeah,
love it.
Yeah, yeah, buddy. And Mickey's here, too. Hi, Mickey.
Here, I thought we were a circus, not in the zoo.
Well, it's kind of interchangeable. It really loses. The line gets blurred from time to time, is what I'm saying.
Okay.
Between whether or not we're a zoo or a circus.
So we're just the peanut gallery?
Sure. Right. You are, because you're the one who always makes those little snide remarks, you know, in the middle of all the other conversation going on.
Gotta throw you off.
Yeah. Right.
I like cashews. My favorite.
It's afreakaccident.com. That's the website. Send us an email about absolutely anything. We'd love to hear from you. Freaks at afreakaccident.com. While you're browsing around that website, you might notice the thing on the menu bar labeled Connect. Click that button. You'll find links to all of our social media sites there. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Periscope, all those places. And all those links are right there for you, so you can come interact with us even when the show is over. iTunes, head over there, subscribe. You'll get automatically delivered new shows when they're released each and every week. And be sure to leave us a good review if you enjoy the show. All good reviews help us climb the charts. And also, I will remind you that if you're an Android user, find us on Google Play Music. We can be found there now as well. So thank you for downloading and listening to this little experiment that we call A Freak Accident. And I'm excited about the show this week, and so is Ian Hunter.
I can't wait till Mickey tries to repeat everything you just said later on in the show and screws it up beyond all repair.
It will be an absolute disaster. It's almost like I say it every single week right in front of her. I wonder what you're doing over there while I'm going through that whole spiel.
Staring at the blank wall in front of me.
Oh, yeah, great.
I am the blank wall.
I was going to say, yeah, that's quite an insult hurled at you, pal.
I know. And do you know why she doesn't pay attention? Partly my fault. Like, occasionally when you're reading that, I'll just be making faces like,
Yeah, you don't help the situation.
Well, I'm trying to make you better.
That's not helping.
Trial by fire.
The faces. I can't deal with the faces.
Is that what you do? This is your fault, then. I could blame you for the constant distractions and everything else.
Actually, it just made me more sad because today I wasn't making a face.
She was just trying to follow that one eye that's still a little bit crooked and
ouch,
not quite straight. Listen, that operation did a great job, pal, but they missed a little bit.
I'm an ugly boy.
It was like you thought it was going to be a home run and then the last second foul.
Yeah. Actually, they explained that before when they fixed actually, it wasn't a lazy eye technically because they had to work with muscles. They said that more than
likely. So you're just weak. Yeah. You're a weak man. You don't lift weights enough.
My eye doesn't.
We need to pump you up.
So what they said, I guess during the surgery, a lot of the times it won't stay perfectly straight because the muscles can't take that tension like that. Go ahead, Ian. What joke did you want to make off of that one? Go ahead.
It's totally not appropriate.
I know what it was
going to
be. I know what it was going to be. Kudos on it. So, good joke, pal.
Thanks,
you know,
man.
In another universe where that joke actually was made. Not here, though. Not on this show.
Yeah.
It is not FCC compliant, so I'm not going to say it.
Exactly.
It's not even his feelings compliant. He might get sad.
Yeah, that's not what I was concerned about.
Oh, man.
We're just throwing you under the bus today.
I know. Why?
Poor guy.
I haven't rode a bus in forever.
You know, I'll be honest with you. I forgot that we were recording this show tonight a couple times today.
Why?
Because I was thrown off by the long weekend.
What'd you do that threw you off?
Well, it was Memorial Day weekend. We all were a part of that, right?
Unfortunately.
We all had the long weekend Monday off. Why is it unfortunate to have extra time off?
Because I had to deal with a lot of people this weekend.
Like, in what sense?
Because everybody was off. So they're like, hey, come visit. Come hang out. And I'm like,
Too much. Too much.
I want to sit at home and not do anything like I always do. Right. Not watch TV, not watch movies, don't read, don't go online. Just sit here with my thoughts.
I have a question.
You probably write music in your free time, though, right?
I do.
Now, see? There.
And
so,
I doodle.
When you're at home and you're off into space and staring at a blank wall, what do you do when he's not when he's not there? You don't have anything to stare at, so what do you do for entertainment?
I doodle.
By the way, kudos, that Freddie Mercury painting is amazing.
Glad you like it.
It's awesome.
Because it's one of those, I'm going to keep doodling on it until I get it right, and I finally went, I got to stop. I got to just leave it alone.
For a split second, I thought she was going to say it's a color by numbers.
That would have been great.
It kind of is, because that was how I was taught how to paint, like copy pictures onto paintings. It's like a square graph. If you look at the old picture from when I first started, there's all little squares on it. That's what that is.
Stay inside the lines.
Uh-huh.
When is the classic nude between me and Crisco going to be completed?
Never.
Why not?
Because I don't even want to see the picture for it.
Can you at least make me half nude and half centaur?
Which half do you want?
A little bit from each. Like,
see, I would go the other way. I would want to have like the lower body of a man and then the top half be horse. That's what I would want.
No, you see, I want half, but I want like it all around my body. Half total, but like my head's the center, but my arms are real, and then the tail, but then my regular legs. I like that idea.
You shouldn't.
Make that happen.
No.
I want to be a nude centaur.
There's the title of his autobiography. Yeah.
The Lazy E story. I want to be a nude centaur.
So anyway, Memorial Day weekend.
I was going to say, my mom would do that for you.
Oh, get her on the phone. Mickey's mom, we know you're listening.
Yeah. Throwing mom under the bus
today. Yeah.
Anyways.
No, Memorial Day weekend. No, so I was thrown off today. I was thrown off yesterday, too. E knows this because, you know, we work together. I said, I went home Friday. We all got let out early. I ended up having to stick around a little bit longer. But we were let out early Friday, which was nice. So I went home and I took a nap, which I rarely get to do. So that was awesome. And then I slept in Saturday, and then I took another nap on Saturday. This one was like 2.5 hours long. Like you even said that's bordering on sleep at that point. That's not just a nap.
Yeah, are you a bear?
I'm close to it. I think I might be bear kin for sure. So Saturday I napped, and then Sunday I slept in, and Sunday I napped. And then Monday I slept in, and Monday I napped. I slept almost the entire weekend away, but I was so recharged and rejuvenated on Tuesday. And I still am a little bit today. But when I woke up Tuesday, it was like I slept so much, I think I slipped out of time and space because I forgot what day it was. I was like, all right, Saturday. No, wait, it's not Saturday, it's Monday. Oh, no, wait, no, long weekend. And then for whatever reason, I thought it was Wednesday. And then I said, no, it's Tuesday. So I bounced around the week a little bit, finally figured out it was Tuesday. But I'm still not, I'm all off. I'm all thrown off. That's like when one of our traffic ladies came down to tell us that, oh, yeah, tomorrow we're getting those reports in. I was like,
oh.
Wait, what? Oh, yeah. It's like, well, you know, I'm glad it's a short week, but that just means the crappy work comes faster because everything bad happens on Thursdays.
At any point, did you think you entered the movie Inception? Where dreams, you didn't know what was a dream and what was reality?
I might not be out of that last dream state. I got to find my totem and see if, like, the top falls down or not.
Or just look at the back of, like, one of our backs, see if wings pop out of nowhere.
I could still be asleep as far as I know.
This is not happening. Ooh.
Yeah. If he pops out and becomes a half centaur, you know you're just way asleep.
Well, no, then I'll know my dreams are coming true.
Yeah, the nude centaur comes back. Yeah.
I want to see that painting.
I'm never going to be able to sleep again after what he just said. Him as a nude centaur. Sleep for me is just gone.
Funny story.
How
just as we
I want to hear how he's going to segue into this now. Now wait, let it go. Let it go and let it marinate. Just go ahead.
Cuz we're steak.
Just absorb it. Go ahead.
Good job, Mickey. You're turning into me. But I just got word that Lazy E, the nude centaur movie, is coming out, and the trailer will be on our show next week.
Terrific.
Lazy E, the nude centaur.
So you've got that to look forward to.
Next week.
Or to run in absolute terror from.
Yeah, I forgot to mention to you guys, I'm not going to be on the show next week, or any time we're going to talk about you as a nude centaur.
Get ready.
The trailer is coming next week on a freak accident.
Well, Ian has got a new job, so who knows if he'll even be around on the podcast anymore.
He doesn't have a choice in the matter.
Yeah, no, you're showing up here. You're showing up here. Even if we have to kidnap you with your manager, you are going to be here on the show each and every Wednesday evening.
I was going to say, we're going to show up to his new job, kidnap him, get him over here.
Yeah.
Sorry, we've got to take him for a few hours.
And we're going to kidnap the manager, too, because there cannot be any witnesses. But he will witness the show, which will then make him probably reconsider whether or not he wants to continue living. And there you go. The mess cleans itself up.
Ian, I know it's your first day on the job, but there's a guy, a girl, and a nude centaur waiting for you. I'm not sure what's happening.
Listen, I'm totally cool with this idea as long as we do it like they did in the movie Old School, where they just show up in a random van with the pantyhose over their head. Yeah. And like, get in the van!
Just throw you in the back.
What are you doing? I'm pledging to a fraternity.
And a nude centaur.
Terrific. Well, you got that to look forward to next week, that movie trailer. I'm stoked about it.
Get ready.
This episode, though, is jam-packed. I thought this discussion, this topic was going to go away. No, it's still going full force. A gorilla has been killed after a child fell into its enclosure at the Cincinnati Zoo. We've got the full story and our own thoughts on the matter. The Bible.
Don't even tell them what. Just say it's being translated.
Yeah, there's a new translation of the Bible, and it's yeah, yeah.
Make them wait for that one.
The downfall of society continues at an ever increasing rate. We've got a movie segment. Lazy E saw X-Men Apocalypse, so he's going to feed us his thoughts on that. We've also got some movie news floating around. We've got a girl who left college to fight ISIS. Yeah, she just decided to pack up and go kill some terrorists. And according to her, they are incredibly easy to kill. So, Mickey, you might have a new endeavor on your horizons.
What?
I got nothing.
It'll give you an excuse to not be on this show for a couple weeks. You want to go kill terrorists now?
Nope.
Oh, okay. And we've got a music segment, which we teased for you last week. We're going to be hearing from some bands, some new songs that are coming out, and we're going to review a couple new albums as well. Yay. Because we love music. And we're going to hopefully culture in you the love of the same type of music, listener.
Ooh.
That was creepy.
I know. Yeah. I know. I made it weird. And I always do that. And I'm sorry.
When did you turn into Casey Kasem? And then in 1990.
I'm Casey Kasem.
Yeah.
You're calling Crisco creepy, but 4 seconds ago you were just talking about you being a nude centaur. How is that not creepy?
That's a life goal. Not creepy. Come on.
I'm just now envisioning a cherub with unicorn legs.
Right now, though, before we even get to that music and we culture that that love of music in you, you have to make it through this episode of A Freak Accident. So I sincerely hope you're prepared.
If you need to listen to A Freak Accident, we've got what you need.
Oh, perfect.
You can find us on iTunes, the TuneIn Radio app, Spreaker, Your Nightmares, the Stitcher Radio app, pretty much every other podcast app, or wherever podcasts are downloaded. So pick one. We don't care which one. Just make sure you're listening.
If I were a gorilla, la 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 la, I'd eat me a banana, na 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 la. I'd live in a treehouse and swing on a vine. But one thing is sure, I would love ya.
Not in this situation. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Where's the gunshot sound at the end?
Ooh! Ooh! Ooh!
Ooh!
That went dark.
You are vicious.
Man.
You are a vicious human being. Way to sit atop that food chain with pride.
Might as well.
Mickey is bananas. B-A-N-A-N-A-S.
That was Rafi with that song.
Rafi.
Who?
Children's singer. Come on.
Nope.
I've never heard of him. Ever.
Educate yourselves. Get some children's CDs. I don't know.
Yeah, no, that won't look weird at all when I walk into FYE and buy a bunch of children's albums. Sure.
Yeah, so they'll just make your sign bigger in the yard. Big deal.
Ouch.
This has been a topic of discussion on everybody's lips for the last week. And I thought last week when this news story came out, I thought, it's a big news story, but there's no way it'll still be in the news cycle by the time next week's podcast rolls around. Man, was I wrong. Did I undershoot that? People are still talking about it. They're still complaining. Now there's a GoFundMe page or whatever where they're trying to raise money for a dead animal. I don't get it. What are you going to do with that money? Who are you going to pay it to? The animal's family?
Yeah, the family that is suffering yeah. right now.
Here, this is to cover the expenses of the gorilla funeral because he's dead now.
The next King Kong movie, in memory.
So everybody's heard about this. This has occurred at the Cincinnati Zoo.
Who they?
Just another example of how nothing good happens in the city of Cincinnati.
I was going to say, much like their professional sports teams, everything's going downhill.
Oh, what the hell?
You started it.
Yeah, you asked for it with that Who Day thing.
Yeah, Who Day.
Yeah. So this was at the Cincinnati Zoo.
Yeah, Who Day.
Thank you. What had happened was a kid, it was the fire department was called because they were told that a gorilla attacked a four-year-old boy who fell into the enclosure's moat. Zoo President Thane Maynard said the boy crawled through a barrier Saturday, fell 10 to 12 feet, and was grabbed by the zoo's 17-year-old male Western Lowland gorilla, Harambe. Harambe. I don't know what his name is. I don't care.
Well, now I know
why. Dead animal. Yeah. Next question.
Now I know why Tool's new album's not getting done. He's working at a zoo.
Oh, Maynard. Yeah, funny.
Wow.
You're a funny dude.
Thank you.
So and what happened was the kid fell into the enclosure, and the Cincinnati Fire Department said in a statement that first responders witnessed a gorilla who was violently dragging and throwing the child. The boy was with the 400-pound animal for about 10 minutes before the zoo's dangerous animal response team deemed the situation life-threatening, and they decided to put the gorilla down.
It took 10 minutes to figure that out?
I don't know. They were probably looking for... I would assume they were looking for a clean shot, maybe. They didn't want to probably hit the kid with the bullet that they used to put the animal on the ground.
Or they thought maybe he would let the kid go at some point.
Yeah, that could be too. Well, I mean, this is what we're talking about here. Everybody's complaining that they put the gorilla, they had to put the gorilla down, that they killed the gorilla to save the kid's life. And you know what? The funniest thing to me was a couple weeks ago, did you hear that story about the tiger that mauled the zoo worker and she died? And everybody was complaining, why didn't you kill the tiger to save the lady? But now it's like, why did you kill the gorilla to save the child? You can't please anybody. Nobody's happy.
Just playing devil's advocate. Don't they have tranquilizers?
They do have tranquilizers, but I mean, here's the other thing, too. I've seen people like bringing up, oh, well, you know, they could put a tranq in them that puts them down in a couple minutes. It's like, so everybody's a tranquilizer expert now. Everybody. Like I saw a friend of mine from high school on Facebook talking about tranquilizers. Like, where'd you get your education from, pal?
Okay, so even if we go off of the statistic that a tranquilizer will put them down in a couple minutes, that's a couple more minutes that the animal has to tear this child apart.
Well, that's what I mean. And this isn't the point that I was going to make, is Jack Hanna was on TV. You know, and he made the point that gorillas are impossibly strong.
Right.
And that's the thing. If you shoot them just with a dart... You got to figure, they're also very aggressive animals. If he's there with the kid and suddenly he feels pain, he might just crush that kid's skull like a grape. Right. And then what have you done? Oh, because we didn't want to harm the animal.
Imagine, Crisco, if I shot you with a tranq gun.
Yeah.
What's your first reaction?
I'm mad.
Exactly.
I'm real upset.
I mean, and you're not an 800-pound gorilla. Let's be honest here.
Right. That's the exact point that I'm trying to make. So at the end of the day, it's like, okay, and you're talking about 10 minutes. That seems to me like they were trying to figure out some way of getting the kid out without having to harm the gorilla. 10 minutes is a long time. You know, I mean, I would have shot the thing the moment the kid was in the gorilla's hands. I'd have tried to kill the freaking thing to save the kid.
Yeah.
Because that's the thing you need to ask. It's like everybody's saying, okay, and granted, it's an endangered animal. It sucks that you had to kill the animal. That nobody denies that it doesn't suck that this happened and that the animal had to die. But at the end of the day, you had to save the kid, right?
No.
The kid was more valuable than the monkey, right?
No.
Wow. Okay.
So totally just... for population control. It's fine.
Jeez. And you tell me I have questionable morals. She's over here like, nah, just let the monkey stuff the kid into his armpit and squeeze until he pops like a zit.
I think we need to start questioning this parent who says, well, I turned around and the kid just got away.
Well, a lot of people are.
Why? Why did your kid even get to that point? He was in a stroller. How was he not strapped in the stroller? I have not seen many stories of a kid falling into a gorilla pit. On top of that, why do zoos even make that possible? How is it even possible
for anybody to get in there, fall, or climb, or anything in any other way?
A couple years ago, I think this actually happened at the Pittsburgh Zoo. A woman had her child... Hey, we're just talking about Cincinnati here. We're even.
So
a woman had taken her kid out of the stroller, wherever she was in, was holding it on top of the wild dog pen, and dropped
the kid.
Don't
talk about Ben Roethlisberger that way.
God, I hate you all so much. She dropped the kid into the wild dog exhibit. And obviously, the dogs came and killed the kid. That happened, just like that. So they killed all the dogs afterward. I'm sitting there going at the end, you dropped some food in their cage.
Yeah.
It's right. Not like you're trying to save the kid at that point.
At that point, why are you killing them now? Like, oh, they killed something that was alive. Like, they would do to anything were they given the opportunity. Any animal. Whether
they're
it was a
wild animal.
Yeah, whether it was a kid, a rabbit, you know, a pig. You throw anything in there, the dogs are going to murder it. So, yeah, why are you going to kill them after the fact? It doesn't bring the kid back.
There have been several stories over the years of parents putting their children up on the fence. And I really think what they should put in place in zoos is, like, a height requirement. Like yeah. they have on the roller coaster rides where you have to be, you know, 4 foot high. So that way you don't have to put your child on the railing.
Or they should just hire somebody to stand at each enclosure. And when people do that, he just walks over and slaps him on the wrist. Says, no,
no, bad. We don't do that.
Bad.
Not here.
No. You know how this all could have been prevented? If Chris Pratt was the trainer of that gorilla.
Yeah, you're right. He could have run in there and been like,
wait.
Yeah, calm down. He put his hands up, you know, like, listen, this child is coming with me, monkey.
They did find out, like, once he got shot, you know what the gorilla did once it was shot? It went, ooh, ooh, ooh.
Oh, my God.
You're not funny and nobody likes you.
CM Punk, once again, fighting a UFC fight and I'll take you seriously.
But it's it does suck. But the kid's life was definitely more important and you needed to try and save the kid somehow. But I do agree, first of all, how it's possible for anybody to accidentally fall into an enclosure. I mean, the fact that you can climb or squeeze anything to get into enclosure is number one problem. And the parent, too. You know, I've seen a lot of posts on Facebook about bringing back those leashes that you used to see kids on. Like,
absolutely. Why not
put your kid on a leash? Then, like, at least he just dangles over the side for a little bit, and, you know, the gorilla has a pinata for a couple seconds before you can pull it back up.
And how stupid are kids are getting? Think about it. When I was that little, I never thought, that fall seems like a good idea. Yeah. Like, are you serious?
Yeah, I'd love to fall 10 feet and be, you know, in the arms of that vicious animal.
Let's point out that all comes back to the parent not teaching their child that 10 feet fall is going to hurt.
You know, I've seen people bringing up that case from, what was it, 96? I don't even remember the zoo was, but the kid was in the gorilla, another kid fell into another gorilla thing, but that gorilla actually, like, picked up the kid and was carrying him around and was, like,
treating him
really gently and everything else. Two distinct cases, because if you watch that video of the gorilla with this kid, he's, like, dragging him through the water, like, the kid's just taking gallons of water in his mouth as he's being, like, dragged through by the gorilla. The gorilla's picking him up, throwing him around. It's like, oh, yeah, no, he's handling him really gently.
Luckily, though, we could end all this conversation because I have on the Skype line right now our chief gorilla correspondent. Why don't we hear from him right now? See, it makes more sense now.
Sure. Yeah. Everything is illuminated to me.
Yeah.
I had a thought and it's gone. I don't even know what happened to it.
Can we just agree, though, that, like, we would have done the same thing in that situation, that we would have put the animal down to try and save the person, with the exception of Mickey, who would just allow the chips to fall where they may and just, you know, whatever.
I think if it had been an adult that had fallen in, I think we allow the gorilla to kill them. Because then they're smart enough to know the difference. At least the little kid, well, you know what, honestly, the little kid, what was the kid, 4?
He was smart enough to know the difference.
Me as a 4-year-old knew that that's a giant animal, I shouldn't go in there.
Right. Yeah.
So I should have said, they did the right thing by saving him, but.
And again, don't get us wrong. Nobody's saying that it doesn't suck that the gorilla died. Of course, if there was a way out of this situation where the gorilla could have been, you know, lured away by a meal or something like that, but he seemed pretty intent on, you know, playing violently with that child like a big inflatable toy. So I think we can excuse just this one thing. So I don't know what you're raising money for or what you're going to do. But then I hear, like, the police are launching an investigation into the murder of the gorilla. It's like, what is going on?
Man, things are just getting ape-ass.
A freak accident. It's like a dumpster fire scented air freshener. There's absolutely no point.
The Cedarmont kids. Where's Cedarmont exactly?
Next to Portermont.
He has no idea.
I said that with confidence, though.
You did. I was half tempted to believe you.
Yeah.
That was the B-I-B-L-E song. We're talking about the Bible. Why? Well, because something terrible has happened in the world of religion and literature and all common sense.
Now, the Bible is the most translated book in history.
Yes. Best-selling book in history, too.
So, obviously, they did something smart when they were bringing it out again.
Right. Sure.
Yeah.
Bringing it out again?
Yeah,
because it's been out of print for a while. You know, they're bringing it back for a second edition.
What's the remastered version?
Yeah, sure. So they added now to the list of translations of the Bible that already exist. there is now a King James Bible that has been translated into emojis to hopefully entice readership from Generation Text. We're millennials, as the rest of us know them as. This article's trying to be clever. Stop doing that, New York Daily News.
Can I just say something for the record?
No.
This is the stupidest idea of all time, and there's been some stupid ones before.
I did say no, didn't I? He heard that.
Yeah. I don't
think he kept going, though.
I had to say it.
You don't listen to the rules, man.
It's okay.
I like that about you. You're a rebel without a cause.
The great thing is you could get this Emoji Bible on iTunes for $2.99.
Yes, you can. Apple iBooks. It was released on Sunday. Bible Emoji, Scripture 4, the number 4, by the way. Scripture, the number 4, millennials. All 66 books in one one translation. Yeah, so.
This isn't a deal. This is against the commandment. This is a steal, baby. If that isn't their advertisement, I don't know what is. Come on. That has to be their commercial.
That was the greatest joke of all time.
Thank you.
Right,
it was
there.
It was up there. It was up there.
I'm out. See you guys.
For as many bad ones as he's had, especially tonight, you redeemed yourself right there.
You need to retire from radio now, move to another town, change your name.
You can't hit home runs without getting strikes.
You know, if you hear of somebody named Easy Lay on a top 40 station somewhere, that he's moved on and, you know, he's trying to recreate the magic somewhere else.
That actually was going to be my name on a pop station.
No.
No, it was. My goal is to take this name into every single radio market. Ambitious E for soft rock. Talk E for talk stations.
And my favorite for country.
Oh, yeah, Towdy.
Oh, that joke doesn't get old.
No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't.
No. So
he's thought this through. That's the most amazing thing.
You got to make a brand.
How much do you think, speaking of thinking things through, they really had to think through this whole Bible translation thing if they needed to make it work with emojis?
That's a lot of words.
See, because here's the thing. Emojis kind of get on my nerves. And let me explain why. Because, granted, I think having the faces is helpful because often inflection is not inferred through text. So I think sometimes using a face to sort of
emote.
Right.
Oh. Yeah, Mickey, high five.
I didn't even think of that, man. I guess that's why they named it that.
Yeah.
Huh? So, to basically translate emotion through text, the faces make sense. But then I see there are things with these kids nowadays with their fax machines and hula hoops.
Fax machines and hula hoops.
Yes. These kids these days, I've seen them post entire sentences in nothing but emojis. And I'm like, what is it that you're trying to say? This is way more complicated trying to find a picture to coincide with the word that you're trying to say than just spelling out the word.
This is going really old school. Hieroglyphics are making a comeback. It's perfect.
He stole my thunder.
Yeah, thunder stealer.
Yeah.
The nude centaur strikes again. That's what he does.
Is that the nude centaur's name, Thunder Stealer?
Yeah, the thunder stealer.
I'm terrified.
Yeah.
I don't think we should call you Lazy E anymore. I think it should just be Thunder Stealer.
Yeah, Centauri. See, I have brands for everything.
You know, I just noticed something.
What?
You still don't have internet?
The name of the... No, I don't. Thanks, jerk. Twist that mic. No, the name of this thing, Bible Emoji, Scripture for Millennials. Millennials is spelled wrong.
In the article.
Shocker.
Or the book?
No, in the book itself, the title of the Emoji Bible, Millennials, is spelled wrong. Yeah. Oh. Maybe you should stick with the whole emojis for sentences thing, because obviously you don't know regular grammar.
How true is this story, then?
No, it's true. This Bible definitely exists. Yeah, as a matter of fact, we've got some excerpts from it here.
Yeah, yeah. We've got some wonderful ways that the emojis will fit into scripture.
Like,
so,
like for instance, well, let me just read an example first before we read some of these. Okay, like for instance, Matthew 4:19, and he saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. In the emoji Bible, Matthew 4:19 says this, and Jesus ... emoji unto them, come ye after me, and I will make you to become fish emojiers of men.
Do you see? It actually makes sense.
Well, see, I couldn't see it because we don't have emojis in front of us.
But that's why we're reading them.
Use your imagination. You know what the fish emoji looks like?
It's a fish.
But English is just fine.
I agree. But they didn't do it in English, and this is the story that we're talking
about.
So we're just going to roll with it, Mickey. Thank you.
Yeah, yeah. So I think we need to read more of these, but I need an ambiance before I do
mine. You need an ambiance.
Yeah.
How about a little bit...
Wet up my voice a little bit.
Here we go.
All right, everyone. Angel face emoji said, one of you will betray me. Shocked emoji, embarrassed emoji.
Okay, I want to turn. I want to do this. I want to turn.
Okay, all right.
The angel emoji appeared onto Abraham, OMG. Literally said Abraham.
Get a little Kardashian and everything on that. Mickey.
All right, Mickey, you want to do another one?
I didn't want to do one in the first place. On the seventh day, he tired. Emoji.
Wait, restart that. Rewind. We're good. We'll fix that in post.
Go ahead, read it again.
Come on, Mickey, you can do it. Come on.
On the seventh day, he tired. Emoji, ZZ emoji.
Because he rested. I get it.
Yeah. Crisco, do you got one?
I've got one. We need a different song.
No.
All right. The man approached Jesus and asked, what must I do to be saved? Jesus responded, okay emoji, 100, 100, 100 emoji.
You know what? This Bible's actually pretty good. I like it.
Yeah.
You want another one?
Go for it.
Now as he foot emojied by the... Now as he foot emojied by the two waves emoji of Galilee... He two dot emoji, Simon and Andrew, his brother casting a net into the two wave emoji, for they were fish emojiers.
Terrific.
Thank you.
I got another one.
All right, do it.
In the alarm clock emoji, angel emoji created the cloud emoji with the earth emoji.
There's got to be more here.
Mickey.
I like this one. This is amusing. The Lord appeared unto Moses in a fire emoji, tree emoji, fire emoji.
All right, we got to end on a high note. Let's do this.
You ready for Philippians 4:13?
Yes.
I can do all this through him who gives me muscle emoji. You know, if this wasn't as entertaining as it is, I would think that this was a terrible idea.
We should make an entire show of just doing this.
Just emojis?
Yeah.
No.
What do you mean, no? This is a great idea.
A freak accident. Gas mask emoji. Explosion emoji. Sad emoji.
Poop emoji.
You gotta know when to hold 'em, when to fold 'em, when to walk away, and when to run. On second thought, forget all that. Just grab the table and take what's yours. This is a freak accident.
Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat.
Man, we are movie maniacs on a freak accident. That is for dang sure.
Yeah.
We're cinephiles.
Ooh, that's what they're called. Terrible.
Yeah, that does sound terrible. I've always thought that word sounds really, really bad. But that's the word that they use. They like it. I don't care.
Nope.
Anything with file at the end of it typically does not have a good connotation.
Fair observation, my friend. Yeah. I think maybe we should avoid that from now on, but I'll stick with movie maniacs. Yeah, we love movies around here, and Lazy E was the only one of us, I think, to have seen X-Men Apocalypse this weekend. You saw it opening night, too.
I saw it opening night, opening showing.
Wow, the first show.
Yeah, so, I mean...
You're like a legit member of the press or something.
Yeah, no. Sadly, I'm just that guy. But luckily, the reason I'm able to do this is because movies open at 7 anymore on the day before it actually comes
so
out.
So much for midnight screenings.
It's great. I'm getting old. I can't deal with that anymore.
I got work in the morning. I can't be staying out till 2, 3 in the morning just after a movie.
The one thing I was thinking, like... You know, it was easier when movies actually were like an hour 45, but now it's like the staple. 2 hours and 27 minutes, this one, and it's ridiculous.
Movies are getting longer. They definitely are.
Too much sometimes.
Back in the day, remember, like, there were movies back in the early era of cinematography when there was like an hour was a long movie.
Yeah.
Now 3 hours is like, I've seen longer.
Yeah, a Marvel movie comes out and it's an hour and 50 minutes. It's like, what?
Yeah, that's a short movie.
God, although with
anything below 2 hours anymore is considered a short movie.
And with the rising cost of popcorn and soda and tickets, I get why people are mad. They want their money's worth.
So what did you think of X-Men Apocalypse, though? Because I've honestly seen a lot of reviews coming out have not really been super favorable.
A lot better than the reviews say.
Okay.
It's not Days of Future Past. It won't... you can't view a movie based on another... That was a moment in time. That was a movie that was just great.
I mean, you're always going to have those comparisons, though, between one movie and another. Oh, I mean, I think Days of Future Past was so good, though, that it's going to be hard for anything to measure up to it. So... But I kind of get it in that sense, but it's kind of like the problem is it's in the same franchise. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So the issue that you run into is whenever there's sequels is you always need to outdo the last one.
Well, sure.
So that's the problem is Days of Future Past was so good. This one had such huge expectations resting on it. And I think a lot of people were upset in their expectations.
People got to learn to set the bar low.
That's Mickey's philosophy in life. Set the bar low, just step right over it, everything will be fine.
Correct.
Why do you think she's still on this show? She sets the bar low for what to expect every week when she comes in to record, and she's never disappointed.
Not really set the bar low. Least
I don't want to hear any comments about that you are disappointed.
Except for when we play.
Oh, yeah. Oh. Yes or BS! We'll bring it back. Don't you worry, returning champion. You'll get your day in the sun.
So, I don't think you need to set it low. I just think you need to set it reasonable.
Okay.
You know, the one who stole the film, Quicksilver.
He stole the last one, too, though. That scene in Days of Future Past was the one everybody was talking about. So, he's still the showstopper in this one.
Just the way he plays off, you know, the fact that they know that he's Magneto's son. You know,
spoiler alert.
Come on. It's been out.
Yeah, and anybody who's read the comics in the last 50 years knows
that. Yeah, yeah. So they keep playing on the fact, are you going to tell him? And he toys with the idea up to the point when the movie's ending, and then he just doesn't do it, you know? Mm. The neat thing was Magneto not being the main bad guy. That was a different feel to the whole idea of the movie. I love the apocalypse type of theme, you know, they played it off well, the end of the world, that I don't remember, I'm not the biggest X-Men fan in the world, the main bad guy, the god, the
Apocalypse.
Was that his actual name?
You know what, I did hear that, they don't mention his name being Apocalypse at all in the movie.
Well, that's the problem, they mention it as something else, like he was a god named this before, and that's why I never really attached myself to it, regardless. Had that character played off perfectly.
Okay.
Amazing.
You know who that was?
Who?
That was the same actor who played Poe Dameron in Star Wars The Force Awakens.
Really?
Yeah. As Oscar Isaac.
Well,
you wouldn't know it under all that makeup and prosthetic, but that's him.
You learn. Thank you. But another great moment. Spoiler, Hugh Jackman cameo.
Yeah, I heard Wolverine shows up in it.
It is unbelievable because the way it happens... He is for the girls. He just comes out stark nude, basically. Boy. He doesn't play a large part. He fits it perfectly, which is leading into the Wolverine 3. He's been seen getting that look ready a lot more. But end of the day, I mean, it is a pretty solid movie. Again, not as good as the last one. I'd say it is a 3.5 verging into 4.
Oh, wow.
You know, it's a very enjoyable movie. Just go into it with reasonable expectations, and I think you'll like it.
Hey, I don't think that's too much to ask of anybody.
No.
You know, I mean, that's a good review. So 3.5 heading into a 4.
Yeah.
I'm going to try and check it out this weekend.
Do it.
I don't know. Admittedly, I'm not as excited about this one as I was about Days of Future Past. I don't know why. Even when I heard the first, when I heard that they were doing the Apocalypse storyline, which, of course, I've read the comics for, I was kind of like, oh, well, I'm not sure if I'm really super stoked about it.
That means you're going to like it.
Okay.
Because you're going in with that
low
expectation.
And yeah. I'll be pleasantly surprised.
Yeah.
All I know is I haven't seen an X-Men movie since X3. I hated that movie so much that it just turned me off from the whole franchise.
Admittedly, that had a similar effect on many of the movie-going audience, but seriously, give First Class a shot and give Days of Future Past a shot.
Do I have to watch the Wolverine movie?
No,
origin movie?
No, do not. No, no, God, no. No, do not watch any of the solo Wolverine movies. They are awful. Terrible.
Yeah. Just stick with X-Men.
Yeah.
They're much better.
Start with First Class and just move forward from there.
Okay.
Wolverine shows up in these enough that you'll still get your Wolverine fix and everything else is just jelly.
Yeah.
Seriously, those Wolverine movies are terrible.
Mm-hmm.
But the new trilogy has been pretty good.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
So good. Good review. Thank you. We've also got some news to hit with regard to some movie action going on here. Although not necessarily good news. Ian's definitely upset about this.
Oh, no. What happened?
Go ahead, Ian. You can give us the scoop.
Okay. Well, Disney apparently ordered some reshoots for Star Wars Rogue One, which most movies is not a big deal. There's reshoots all the time.
Every movie has reshoots.
Yeah.
When you hear a movie's doing reshoots, it's never anything to panic
about. It's never a big deal. But the word on the street is that Disney was not happy at all with the initial screening of Rogue One, and they ordered reshoots because they were not happy, and Disney has a big, you know, footprint into how these movies are coming out.
I saw a lot of corporate terminology being bantered about. The one thing I saw was it doesn't have four-quadrant appeal. In other words, it doesn't hit all of their demographics because they want it to appeal to men, they want it to appeal to women, they want it to appeal to children.
Children and
they
dogs.
Want it to appeal. Yeah, right. Everybody needs to. There's got to be appeal for everybody. And the other thing I saw was somebody was upset, and the direct quote was they were upset because it came off feeling like a war movie. Yeah, that was the whole point behind this movie, was that it was going to be a war movie in the Star Trek universe.
Star Trek? You said Star Trek.
Star Wars, sorry. You knew what I meant.
Made a lot of people mad.
Yeah. Sorry. Sorry. It's fine. I'll eat that one. My bad.
You know,
I'll accept my lashes later.
You can't put Rogue One into all four, though. If it's a war movie, it's not going to be for kids.
Right.
Let's just be honest.
Well, I think their problem is that they said after The Force Awakens, they want to make sure that it meets the same standards that The Force Awakens met. So the whole thing is they don't want it to be a step backwards in terms of, oh, well, this might not be for everyone the way The Force Awakens was.
I don't see why Disney has a problem with just going towards the demographic of adults. When was the last time they did that?
Exactly. That's my point. I agree.
I mean, I get it, because Star Wars is as much about the movie as it is the merchandise, and the kids are the ones who buy the merchandise, so I get it.
But as much as we're mad about that fact that they're like, they wanted to hit all four quadrants, as you said, I'm kind of happy at least they're that serious about it.
I guess, but my philosophy on it is this, and I've seen some people on the internet agree with me about this, is that you have the main sequence of movies, the episodes, as it were, for the main Star Wars continuity. Those are your main movies, okay? Those are the ones that you should be really concerned with the four-quadrant appeal, because those are your big franchise-expanding movies. What these are, these anthology films, these are supposed to be stuff that you couldn't do in a main Star Wars movie. That was half the appeal of it, was we're going to see them do things in this movie that we wouldn't see in a normal Star Wars movie. So you're going to lose the appeal if you just try to make it any old Star Wars movie.
Big example, Deadpool.
Right.
Look at Deadpool in the X-Men franchise.
Yeah, exactly. That is a great example. There's something in the same universe that is dramatically different, but look how many people enjoyed that. I think you could get away with doing a little bit more of a serious, war-toned movie in the Star Wars universe without really breaking the franchise. I don't think this is a breaking the franchise thing.
All we know is that, at least it was written in the script, is that there's supposed to be a scene where Darth Vader is just chopping heads off. And I swear to God,
Vader's supposed to be in it.
If Disney gets rid of that scene, I'm going to be very disappointed because I want to see Darth Vader kicking some butt.
Of course, there was only one report that said this, so this might all be overblown a little bit, but I guess we'll see. I'll reserve judgment until the thing comes out.
It's one of those things. If the movie's really good, we're going to sit there and go, yep, reshoots were awesome. Oh, cool. Nothing bothered me. But if the movie's bad, then we're like, whoa, what was it supposed to be like?
Right, exactly. We're going to be wondering what could have been. Speaking of bad movies...
Why?
The reboot.
I'm going to say this again. Why do they keep ruining my childhood?
That's your biggest concern, yeah.
You know what? We're not talking about it, but they came out with another Transformers trailer. Again, ruining my childhood. Stop it.
I honestly am not even sure I care enough about that Transformers movie to even acknowledge it.
I just did because I'm mad.
I will still go see it, and I will hate watch it. No. But
listen, after what Michael Bay did to Kate Beckinsale and the setup for Pearl Harbor... I hate that man forever now.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he called Kate Beckinsale fat and ugly. And there's just no room in Ian Hunter's universe for that.
So we've got this coming down. Now, we've talked about this on the show in the past. How there's such a controversy around this Ghostbusters movie. People don't want it. People don't like it. It's the most downvoted video in YouTube history, the first trailer. People still aren't impressed. They're upset that they're meddling in the Ghostbusters universe unnecessarily. You know, some people admittedly are upset that they're just doing an all-female cast thing just for the sake of, you know, doing an all-female movie without regard for whatever. Mickey doesn't like it for that reason. Yes,
yeah,
so there you go. Other people are mad because people are mad that it's a female cast. I mean, it's like, it doesn't... So there's a lot of controversy surrounding this movie. But one voice has come into the fray to maybe cool everybody down a little bit, or maybe just incite more freaking out.
The cesspool of anger that it is.
Yeah, you're just going to stoke the flames there, man. And that'd be Dan Aykroyd himself, who played Ray Stantz in the original two movies. He came out and said, as originator of the original, saw test screening of new movie. Apart from brilliant, genuine performances from cast, both female and male, it has more laughs and more scares than the first two films, which I immediately dispute that. I didn't laugh once during either trailer.
First of all, just because Dan Aykroyd says it's good doesn't mean it's good.
He still wants Ghostbusters 3 to happen, so he's still going to try and say anything good about this franchise that he possibly can.
That's where I was going with this. Not only does he want Ghostbusters 3 to happen, but he wants the old movies to keep coming out in theaters, to keep selling on DVD. It can't happen if this ends up being a bad movie or flops.
Exactly.
Sure, he wants profit out of it. He's going to have a foot in the door no matter what.
Plus, yeah. I think he's in it, too, isn't he?
Probably.
He does make a cameo in it.
But he also points out, plus, Bill Murray is in the new movie. Great. So, I mean, you know, he has refused for years to do Ghostbusters 3. Now, what's-his-name is dead. And Harold Ramis is dead, and now we're never going to get Ghostbusters 3 because Bill dragged his feet. He's been busy making all these terrible movies for the last decade or whatever, and now he's just decided to make another terrible movie. So, hey, great. I'm supposed to be excited about Bill Murray, though.
So he sold out.
Basically. Yeah, right. Basically.
Now, didn't Bill and Harold Ramis have a big falling out over something?
They might have. I don't know. That was there was so many rumors and everything else for years. I mean, but... Anyway, he concludes by saying, as one of millions of man fans and Ray Stans, I'm paying to see that and bringing all my friends. So he still has to make a point of it. And I made the argument last time. I don't think it's much about... I'm sure there are people who were upset. You know, they're going to accuse it. Oh, it's just a feminist agenda. That's why they're doing the all-female cast. I'm sure there are those people. One of them sitting right here to my right, Mickey.
Yep.
So, but I would argue most people are just upset, again, that they're screwing with Ghostbusters. Why does it have to be Ghostbusters? I think that's what most people are upset about.
Was it last week or the week prior when I said, why mess with perfection? That is one of my favorite movies, if not my favorite movie of all time.
I would argue that that's the biggest argument. Probably.
It is.
That's what I've seen anyway.
It's
but so,
pointless.
So he's already making it, though, the whole, oh, millions of man fans. It's like, it's not about that, man. It's not about that. People loved your original work, and they don't want to see it tarnished by Paul Feig, where it's just a mediocre, generic comedy, which is what all his movies tend to be. We don't want that. We want the perfection of the original to remain as it is.
Yeah.
Do a different script with the same cast and Paul Feig directing. Nobody'd even bat an eye. But it's because you're messing with Ghostbusters. That's why people are upset.
Yeah.
That's why. I mean, I don't. There's no other way to explain it, right? That's it.
You're right. You're right. And hopefully they stop.
Shut up, Dan Aykroyd. You don't know what you're talking about. You're senile in your old age.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Yeah. It is.
Stop ruining Lazy East childhood.
You've killed me.
So there's your movie segment coming up next. A girl who's killing ISIS, and she says it's easy?
Ooh.
Got to learn about this a little bit on a freak accident.
You could pay attention to the ramblings of a star-craving mad person. Or you can listen to us. It's basically the same thing, just less bone-crushing depressing. We are a freak accident.
I hope when war fighter jets will go into, like, ISIS territories, they're playing this song.
You know, I know that in Guantanamo, they use heavy metal and hard rock to sort of wear down the willpower of some of those terrorists and some of their torture techniques. Yeah, and I know they've done that.
I believe, I'm almost certain, Thunderstruck from AC/DC is the main song that they use.
Is it?
Yeah.
Yeah, they don't like American music, especially rock and or metal.
I thought you were going to say rock and or roll. I wish you did.
I kind of wish I did now, too. That would have been a terrific joke. Now, how tough do you think you guys are? Do you think any of you could handle, like, hitting the front lines and taking on ISIS?
Nope.
No.
No.
Even I could admit no. And I fancy myself a macho man from time to time. But definitely not. That definitely is not something that appeals to me. But it does to 22-year-old Joanna, who left college in Copenhagen, Denmark, to join the People's Protection Unit, the YPG. And later, the Peshmerga, Kurdish for one who stands in front of death. Basically, she left college in Copenhagen to go fight ISIS in Syria. She just decided one day, you know what? College isn't for me. Killing terrorists, now that's my calling in life.
At what point do parents go, you know, there's, you know, you could go abroad to go to the beach, senior week, whatever. Don't do that.
This is coming from, yeah, right? Other people are going, I'm going to go to the beach and get wasted. She's going, I'm going to go kill Muhammad right in his eye.
Wait a minute. We live in America with the whole army being, like, top priority. So this is on the same line.
It sort of is.
Except our army won't go in and go kill ISIS.
Right, yeah, true. Anyway, this is from BroBible.com. Her name is Joanna Polani. And if you've seen the pictures, which, by the way, we will have posted at AfreakAccident.com, she is gorgeous.
Woo!
Not exactly what you'd expect to be a killing machine. I mean, I saw this picture of her and I thought, you know what? She's like Black Widow in Avengers, right? Like, she's beautiful, but she'll snap your freaking neck in a heartbeat if you turn your back on her.
I guess you could say that she picked up, put up the Allah hot bar.
Yeah! Yes! Yeah! USA!
Yeah, USA. Terrific job, my friend. So this girl.
Don't you dare!
No, we're not. Cut him off.
Terrific.
Hold on, I got one. You could say she's a real heart stopper.
Wasn't bad.
It was okay. We'll do it a little.
Okay. Ready?
There we are. Good.
I've only got ISIS for her.
Yes! That was it!
You're welcome.
Home run. Dun, dun, dun. Cha-cha.
So this is an amazing story. Now, here's the thing. She has it in her blood, apparently, to fight menacing forces. The reason is because she's an Iranian Kurd who was born in a United Nations refugee camp in Ramadi, Iraq in 1993, after her family was forced to flee their home during the Gulf War. Her family moved to Copenhagen when she was a toddler. Joanna fired her first rifle at 9 years old, and one of her favorite hobbies growing up was target shooting.
Did you say she was an Iranian Kurd?
Yes. It says it right there in the article.
I believe that's what the article says. What?
I don't know how the things work over there.
I'm so sorry about this, Crisco. But I guess that Kurd found a way.
Yeah! Yeah! There's too much of this going on right now.
It's too perfect.
There's too much of it in my life. So anyway, she says she loves, basically, she loves fighting. It's her life, she says. She told Vice magazine. She left her normal, comfortable life to venture to Syria to defeat ISIS and Syrian President Bashar al-Assad's military. So she's actually fighting for the people, because that's the thing. Like, Assad's forces and ISIS are trying to kill each other, and they're just, like, wantonly slaughtering, like, innocent people left and right all over the place. So, like, there's, like, multiple fighting units in that region going up against each other, and she's apparently very effective at being a soldier. Like, she started just, like, doing, like, support, but now she's on the front lines, and apparently she's very good at killing without being seen. So she's like a ninja.
So she's almost like their version of the American sniper.
Sort of, yeah. Yeah, I mean, she's on the front lines. She has a talent for shooting and keeping quiet at the right time. So, yeah, she's basically like a sniper or a ninja. And here's what she had to say, though. ISIS fighters are very easy to kill.
Oh, that's insult to injury.
That's what I mean. Mickey's sitting here saying, oh, yeah, you know, nobody will go in and just defeat them. And you got this girl here saying, she's 22 years old, and she's saying, no, this is simple. This ain't nothing.
So she's saying they're an easy target, so what's our problem?
I'm saying ISIS fighters are very good at sacrificing their own lives. That's kind of like a backhanded insult, too. Yeah. But she does say Assad's soldiers are very well trained, and they are specialist killing machines. So she did go home. She had 15 days leave to go home to Copenhagen to reunite with her family. After 3 days, she received an email from the Danish government stating that her passport had been revoked and any attempt to leave the country would result in a jail sentence. So basically, her passport was made invalid because the Danish government is weary of citizens getting radicalized by ISIS. I don't think you have to worry about that with her, though. You need to worry about her being radicalized. She's pretty much going to kill all of them on her own if you give her the opportunity.
How long before we're talking about her story during our movie segments?
Oh, dude, I think her getting a movie is probably a lock. Why wouldn't you? That's an incredible story.
I'd go further. I'd put her part of the Avengers.
That's what I'm saying. She's like the Black Widow. She's like a legit, real-life Black Widow, and it's amazing.
Yeah, scary.
Kill all of them, Joanna. Kill every last one of them. And videotape it so we can watch it on YouTube.
Yeah.
I'm kind of morbid.
GoPro.
There you go. Yeah, just strap it onto your head. Put another one, like, on the gun so you could do, like, you know, mixing. You could mix between the angles and everything else. That's
boom.
Perfect. Perfect.
Yeah.
You could make your own movie and sell the rights.
Ah, yeah.
Kill ISIS. I'm down for it. Go, girl. Woo!
At least somebody's doing it.
Exactly. Up next, our music segment here on A Freak Accident.
Be a part of the show. Go to afreakaccident.com and click on connect. That's afreakaccident.com. Click on connect. Music you can use.
You're goddamn right.
On A Freak Accident.
Yeah, because the only thing we love just as much as movies is music. We're music fanatics, and you know what? We haven't done a music you can use segment in a while, so I figured we were way overdue.
Plus, there's a lot of music out right now that you could use in your life.
Absolutely. And we tend to be more on the rock side of things, which, let's be honest, is real music. Pop music is not real music. Anything that's it's made in the computer and terrible people, you know, get overprocessed with their voices, and it's all garbage.
Don't you dare mess around with that new Justin Timberlake song. That is a good song.
Well, Justin Timberlake is fantastic. I can admit that. Mm-hmm. All right, so the first song we got here is actually the new song from the Red Hot Chili Peppers. This one's coming off of their album The Getaway, which comes out on the 17th of this month, I believe.
Yeah.
So we're just a couple weeks away from that. I was surprised, actually, when I heard this, how much I liked it. Because I am not really a Red Hot Chili Peppers fan. Never really have been super into them, but I like this one. I don't know why. It's definitely different from what you've come to expect from the Chili Peppers.
I am a Red Hot Chili Peppers fan, and I love it immensely just because it is that different, and it's all because of that DJ Danger Mouse.
Yeah. It's kind of got like a funk feel to it. You know what I mean? It's even got Waka Chica in it. You know what I mean? Waka Chica, Waka Chica, Waka Chica, Waka Chica, Waka Chica.
Yeah.
It's got that funk, you know.
I mean, they've always kind of had that sound, but this one's, I don't know, different. It's definitely different.
Coming down to the ladder, driving the bass a little bit more.
Yeah.
They always have. They've always ridden the bass, but they're really, in this song, they're really driving to be like, you know, here's the bass line. Like, actually listen to the instrument.
Everybody look at Flea!
Yeah.
What do you say? See what I mean? You hear that? Waka chicka, waka chicka, waka chicka.
chicka waka chicka waka chicka.
This will be porn music at some point, right?
Oh, no.
You know it will. Takes a little bit to get there, but we're there.
Shrugging his shoulders.
I like it a lot. I really like it. Ian, you're not a fan?
Not really. First time I heard this song, I'm not a huge Red Hot Chili Peppers fan. I like them. The first time I heard it, I was like, meh. This didn't really do it for me.
Yes, I'm a big fan. Mickey, what's your thought?
I feel like Red Hot Chili Peppers is an acquired taste. But for this song, I like it. It's definitely, like, I like the Red Hot Chili Peppers. I always have. And I feel like this is a step up from their last album.
Okay.
So I'm looking forward to the rest of what they have to offer.
Which album was their last one?
I don't remember.
It was the double disc, wasn't it?
Was it Californication?
No.
I was going to say it. It's not that
one. There is another one.
Yeah. It's the one with snow on it.
Oh, right. Yeah. Okay.
And I can't, it just slips my mind on what it's
actually. Because it wasn't that great.
Right. Yeah. Well, that's probably why you can't remember it.
Yeah. I don't know. I like it. I really like it. I can't even really explain why. I like the fact that it's got like a funk sound to it. I like the use of different instruments. I like the driving bass. That's cool. So, if I had to rate it, I would give it a 4. I'd give it a 4 out of 5. I really like it. And that's high praise for me considering how much I usually dislike anything by the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
I'd give it a 4, leaning on 4.5.
All right.
It's really good. I think the rest of the album will determine how I feel.
Ian,
totally.
I bet you're around a 2.5,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, 2.5. It's just average to me.
Average to him.
I'm going at a 4.
All right, so we're all kind of on the same page, mostly, except for him over there.
Well, he runs into doors.
We've got the new one from Chevelle that just came out. It's called Joyride, and the parenthetical title is Omen.
This. I've always liked Chevelle, and you know what makes me like them? Probably more than a lot of bands. They're three people.
Yeah.
And they make all that noise.
Yeah.
That's a lot of work.
Yeah, for three guys to do all that, yeah.
It is a classic Chevelle sound.
It is, yeah. It's fair to say it's
in the past. If you're kidding, I'm kind of surprised, though, because they had been saying that the new album was going to be their heaviest album yet.
No.
This song really isn't much heavier than their normal stuff. Maybe the rest of the album's a little different, but I was surprised that this was as not, you know...
It's mellow.
Right,
compared
yeah.
to their older stuff.
Exactly, yeah. I'm always surprised with this band because they're all related. Brother-in-law and two brothers.
Yep.
How they don't get into that many fights.
Yeah.
Like, that would be hard.
It would be. Doing anything with family is tough.
Just makes you want to bounce your head and punch somebody.
Yeah, it's a headbanger. It really is, you know? I mean, like I said, I'm surprised it's not as heavy as I was expecting, but maybe the rest of the album's a little bit heavier, too. I don't know. They might have went with something a little bit softer for the first single just to kind of wet the palate a little bit.
You still have to appreciate the fact that you can bang your head to it, because a lot of the new music that I hear out is very, like, not there.
Oh, yeah.
You don't get that feel behind it. They at least keep what they normally write
for
in
sure.
their music, which is nice.
Yeah.
I say this with a lot of these songs that are real headbangers. WWE pay-per-view song, so.
Oh, yeah, probably.
Absolutely.
I can see it. Ian, your thoughts?
I like Chevelle. I like this one. I mean, it makes you want to stand up and kick ass. Maybe that's what it does, and it fits the bill.
Now, the new album is called The North Corridor. When is that one coming out?
That's coming out really soon, in June.
I think the 10th.
Oh, it's the 10th.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure, yeah.
All right.
Because it's like consecutive weeks of CDs.
Yeah. Now, this next song I'm going to play is a little bit different. But that's why I like it so much, I think. Remember Nathaniel Rateliff and the Night Sweats, they had that song S.O.B.?
Yeah.
And how he said how that was really different. It felt like 60s rock almost. Mm-hmm. Like it was really, really classic rock. It kind of had that feel. This one's got a similar feel to it. The band is called Kaleo. The album is A/B, and that's coming out on June 10th as well. And the song is called No Good, but I love this song.
I'd have to agree with you on this. It's just a fantastic song.
It really is.
It reminded me a little bit of Ace of Spades. Is that wrong to say? It's a Motorhead?
I was going to say, it sounds like Motorhead.
I just love that.
I love, and ever since Jet did it, the revival of 70s style rock.
That's what I mean.
It doesn't sound clean, just as good.
You can't fight the temptation when you get the vibration. Won't do you no good. It won't do you no good. You better start rolling when you hear the man coming. It won't do you no good. It won't do you no good.
I just, man, I it's just... You get into it, you know what I mean? I can't help it.
It's funky.
See, it kind of feels like with this and with the Nathaniel Rateliff song that rock is sort of swinging back to that Jet type that you said, that 60s, 70s kind of rock.
And it was fitting, I don't know. Well, they obviously didn't make their whole sound this way because of this. It was on the HBO vinyl soundtrack.
Right, yeah.
Okay.
So it kind of fit that whole theme.
Straight out of the 70s, yeah.
And that's the era that's kind of making a comeback a little bit.
You have to appreciate the guitar riffs.
Oh, absolutely.
That I miss in a lot of music. Yeah. I like hearing that.
It's something you can connect to.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, if this is the direction that rock is heading in with its sound overall,
I'm
on board. Fully on board. Absolutely.
We'll talk about music that connects a generation with another generation. You bring back this 70s rock sound with, you know, your parents and grandparents, or even for some people that were fans of that 60s, 70s rock. Now you're listening to the same music. That's awesome stuff, man.
I've actually played this and Nathaniel Rateliff for, like, older people in my family. And they've been like, this is on the radio now?
Yep.
And it's like they love it, you know? And I mean, I love it too. It's fantastic. So I mean, that song right there, I would rate that probably a 4.5. That's good. It's good for me.
I'm absolutely with you on that. 4.5.
I'll give it a whole 5, man.
All right, there you go.
I'm giving it a 4 cuz I want to hear the rest of what they have.
Okay. We didn't rate the Chevelle single. What would we give Joyride? I'd give that one a solid 4 too.
I'd give it a 4.
I'm saying 4.5.
Oh, Mickey's going higher on that one.
I'll go 4 with that one.
All right. So see, I like that we're all kind of in the same vibe with these songs.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So this is good music. This is good stuff. Mm-hmm. These are albums coming out in the next couple weeks. It's something to get excited for. And we also have two albums really quick to hit on that came out recently. The first is Thrice. The band Thrice is back. Mickey, you're not a fan?
No, I love older Thrice.
Oh, really?
I kind of clocked out at, what was it, Alchemy Index, which was, you know, 2007, 2008, I think.
Yeah.
And this follows the same concept, and it's why I clocked out. It's not their, like, what they started with.
Oh, okay, so this isn't your Thrice then.
Right.
See, I've always loved Thrice. Like, their early stuff, their middle stuff, and their later stuff. That's why this album, which is called To Be Everywhere Is To Be Nowhere, I got chills listening to it, to be honest with you. I really, really got into this one.
I really think to connect younger people, younger fans of this show and of rock music, think Nothing More. They're kind of the same vein.
Yeah, Nothing More is a newer band, but they've kind of got a similar sound to them. Ian, are you familiar with Thrice at all?
I'm not. I mean, that doesn't mean I don't know who they are. I just the name doesn't, you know. So if I heard one of their older songs, I most likely would know it.
No, you'd know the older song, but then you'd be really confused listening to this.
Because it is
it is a very different style, but that's what they're good at, is with their concept albums. You know, that's the type of music they like to produce. They like to do things that are kind of music theory almost, or really.
They're very experimental. They stretch themselves. And I mean, you have to be talented to be able to pull that off anyway.
Right.
But I mean, I've always liked them, and I mean, this album, I think, is excellent, like I said, and I'm thrilled that they're back together because they did break up a couple years ago and they just reunited. It was like a big surprise a couple months back.
No, that's right. They wrote an album that was what, hiatus something.
Did they?
I'm pretty sure. Yeah.
That's funny.
I mean, that's my first time listening to that song. It's good stuff. I mean,
if I had to rate the entire album, I'd probably. I know I sound like a broken record at this point, but I'd go a solid 4 on it. For the record, I mean, four maybe leaning 4.5, but I'd probably be closer to a 4. But I mean, it's great. I mean, I'm so happy that they're back. It's fantastic.
I'd give them a 3.5. Okay. That's just personal preference. I don't think it's bad. It's just, you know.
Incomplete. Haven't listened to it yet.
Okay.
I was going to go 2.5, but when I listened to it, I'm pushing more for a 3 because they do have a short instrumental in there in the album, which is nice to hear because you don't hear that a lot anymore.
I love instrumental songs. I love it. They don't get enough focus either.
Yeah.
Just plain old instrumentation. You know, that's what Volbeat should do from now on. Get rid of that Swedish Chef cigar of yours and go with straight instrumentation because your instrumentation's awesome. Get that herp derp derp out of there, though, and you'll be fine. We've also got a band making a comeback as well. They lost their lead singer. Now, that was kind of an interesting story because he claims he was kicked out of the band. I mean, I thought he and the girl had a... We're talking about the Sick Puppies here. I thought the lead singer, Shim, I thought he had a thing going on with the girl in the band, Emma. Yeah, maybe I was wrong to think that. I don't know.
Or maybe it went sour.
It could have. Maybe that's why he left the band, you know? But he said that there was a lot of stress with touring and everything else, and it just didn't fit him. But he's in another band now.
Yeah, right? Screaming at Demons.
Okay.
Yeah, he's in that. It's more positive music.
Okay.
A lot of upbeat, I guess, at least the single that I've heard of before. But in case you don't remember who the Sick Puppies are, I think it's important that we give them a little taste. The biggest hit they had.
Oh, yeah, sure. If you're not familiar with the Sick Puppies.
I don't mind. I don't care. As long as you're here.
I thought this was a great song. Didn't get enough credit.
Yeah. They were a good band, and they had a very solid following for a number of years.
Yeah.
His band's name is Screaming at Demons, and it's positive.
Surprisingly.
And he's been scratching his head for the last 2 minutes. Ever since you said that name, he's over there like, huh? What?
I mean, are they yelling at the demon? They're sort of like, no! Bad demon!
Well, that's the thing. You're screaming at demons. That's a good thing to do.
True.
I think he meant more it's upbeat.
Yeah. No. It's positive. Like, the message behind it is, like, believe in yourself and stuff like that.
I've listened to one of the songs, but honestly, I don't think I paid attention to the lyrics.
So anyway, they've got the new lead singer, and they've got a new album out, and the new album moves.
It threw me off, because I was like, Sick Puppies, I know what to expect. Oh, no, I don't.
Yeah, a little bit.
It's so angry and aggressive.
What did they do? Why did they get angry?
They're not sick puppies. They're pissed puppies now.
You know what I noticed? Emma is way more prevalent in this new version of the band.
Yeah.
Yes, she is.
Which isn't a bad thing. She's got a great voice.
She does, yeah. I feel like they could have utilized it a little better between the two of them. But you know what I noticed with the whole album? I feel like this is what Linkin Park should have done with their last album.
Oh, okay. With Hunting Party, you mean. I mean, it is kind of... The Hunting Party did kind of have an aggressive nature to it. But this definitely... It's like they have something to prove with this one.
Well, you figure you lose your lead singer, everybody's already against you.
Yeah.
So they probably did feel that way. It's like, hey, we could still do good.
That new dude, though, the guy that they got doing vocals now, along with Emma, he's pretty good. And I think he fits their scheme really well as well.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I was surprised. I thought I was going to get this album. I thought it was going to be just a kind of background noise. I thought, they're rebuilding. It's not going to be great, but I'll buy it anyway. I was surprised at how much I liked it, because I really do like it.
There's a couple songs in there that I'm kind of iffy on that sound like background, but for the most part of the album, I feel like they've got some good, strong songs in there that will keep them where they were status with Sick Puppies and like people knowing who they are.
I hope so, because they were always a great band, and I'd like to see that continue.
And not to say that this affects the music at all, and you shouldn't base your entire opinion on this, I give them credit from coming back from a lead singer leaving.
That cripples a lot of bands.
And coming out with that.
Right.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So, great. I mean, kudos to them. I mean, if I'm going to rate that album, my favorite number of the day, apparently, 4. I'd go solid 4 on it.
I'm actually going 4.5 with that.
Oh, you're going over. All right.
Great stuff.
Right on.
Again, we'll go incomplete.
You got to listen to more music, man.
I really do.
You're right. You drive so far to work every day. Just throw something in the CD player. You'll be fine.
You have a good point. I mean, I have nothing to say argument-wise. I mean, I should listen to more music.
Yes, do your homework, Ian.
Yes.
Oh, I did my homework.
Yeah, Mickey!
Yeah.
She got to say it.
I did. It's nice.
I knew every other story tonight.
What's your rating?
I'm going to go 3.5.
Okay. That's still pretty good, though. It's on the positive side of our scale, which we usually rate between 0 and 5.
No.
So. So there you go. Go grab some new music. There's a lot of it out there. You just got to know where to look, and that's what we're here to do. We're here to point you in the right direction.
And you know what? Maybe on one post at freakaccident.com, you go check that out. We'll have all those songs up for you so you know, you can remember. So,
yeah.
Because it's hard to, you know, you leave, you go somewhere. We'll have them all located
Perfect.
For you.
That was a very long list today.
Yeah.
It was. You'll manage, though. I have faith in our listeners.
Yeah.
They're intelligent people. I say that as they choose to come listen to this show every week. Whatever. You'll be fine. I have faith in you guys. Help yourselves. Mickey, tell them where they need to go and what they need to do.
Well, if you get lost in the music segment, you can always find us at afreakaccident.com and look up all the information there. You can also find us on our social media by going to the Connect tab on the...
Or the Connect button on the menu
connect
bar.
Connect button on the menu bar.
You're,
so
you're going to get it eventually, yeah. But that is where you go to get our social media links. And also, don't forget to send us an email.
Ian, shut up. Freaks at afreakaccident.com.
That's right. And subscribe on iTunes. Leave us a good review to help us climb the charts. And if you're an Android user, you can find us on Google Play Music as well in the brand new podcast section, plus anywhere else podcasts are downloaded. And again, at our website, if you click on the podcast button, you'll find every episode we've ever done. A lot of those services that carry the podcast, the podcatchers, as it were, don't carry all of our episodes. It's usually the most recent 10 or whatever. You can find all of them at the website, which again is afreakaccident.com. Thank you so much for taking the time to download and listen to us today or whenever you're listening. And we hope you'll be back next week when we release another brand new episode for the show, for A Freak Accident. My name is Crisco.
I'm Lazy E.
I'm Ian Hunter.
I'm Mickey, and we're reminding you
that some things in life are a given.
Until there's a freak accident.
Party's over, dude.
Now I bring you the worst news ever. The show is over. If you're the kind of person who doesn't learn from their mistakes, A Freak Accident will be back with an all-new episode next week.
Thou shalt not miss it.
A Freak Accident is a Solar Flare Media production, all rights reserved. Thanks for listening.